I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. We are available on Alexa. We are on podcasts. We are on iOS. We are on Android. However you get your medium, we are here. And we are the only radio station that literally covers every aspect of health. How are you doing? To remember that you are blessed and highly favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. And I hope this week, when we talk about some really abstract stuff, I really hope that it will inspire you, it'll make you have an aha moment, but also will encourage you to book something that's coming special in September. Remember, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. And this week is no different. What if I said to you, heal by force and not by lion? L-I-O-N. It's been a long time since I actually decided I'm not going to talk too much over this record because I love it. I love it. And I speak over it so much. So this time I decided to let it play. I hope you had your dancing shoes on and I hope you are ready and you're sitting down in the driving seat. Now, did you enjoy Justice the last 2 weeks? Did you find that powerful? Did you enjoy the poem, She? Have you used it? Have you thought about it? Because honestly, a lot of the times that really describes who we are as females, and we all have a past, we all have something, maybe a pattern or an action or a story or a truth that has shaped who we've become today. There's 6 archetypes of your past in She Comes First. So you see, I just keep using acronyms and acrostics, which just really do actually help to open people up. My client is getting so much breakthroughs. It's beautiful to listen to. It's beautiful to witness and to see the transformation, not just in her life, but actually in her marriage, in her work, and who she is as a person, because she can identify with the archetypes. And one of the ones that she does identify with is actually the patterns, actions, stories, and truths, the mirror that's held up, the revelation, the stories we've told ourselves, what we've written. But we cannot rewrite the story and we can't break patterns until we rewrite them. And so this is just one of the things that it's there. It tells you what it means. It tells you why it matters. It tells you who it resonates with. And it gives you an archetype, which really does help you. And then, of course, there's the beast. That's your engine room. What drives you? And you're driven by that archetype of the past. But what does each letter in your beast mean for you? Because this is what you want to know. Then you've got your lovely 15-spoke health wheel. Each spoke being an area of principle of health. Is it self-love, care, awareness? Is it hormones? Is it emotions? Connections, oxygen, movements that matter, exercise, sleep, food, intimate health, rehydration, spirituality, stroke, sunlight, or thoughts. Which one of those spokes is bent? Which one is broken? Which one is straight? Where do you need to start? When you look at self, self-love, self-care, and self-awareness, your love triangle, your self-triangle, sorry, you know, is it an equilateral triangle? Or is one side longer than the other? Does one side need work? It's a wonderful journey. Starts with self and comes back to self. But what's really interesting is that everything is about force. We have different types of force. We don't even think about it. But for me, a lion is a lion's much more dominant, right? It's much more of a dominant character. And domination is not the same or equal to autonomy. And I felt that that statement, when I thought about it, when I've meditated on it and thought about it long and hard enough, I'm like, what does that mean? Heal by force, not by lion. And I think to myself that really there's three things as a metaphor. What I said for me personally is I actually think this is a big metaphor. And it must stand for something, right? Because what is it meant to mean? Why are we having this whole thought? It definitely for me speaks to discipline, knowledge, and wisdom. It has to. It makes no sense. Because a lion represents raw power, represents strength and dominance, it represents instinct, and perhaps even a desire to fight your body into submission. So that's what you want to do. But force can be something very different when it's applied wisely. It's not aggressive, right? It can be directed energy. So you could look at that one whole statement and go, a lion has strength and force has direction. Discipline decides where the force goes and how the force goes and how often that force is used. Knowledge tells you what it is, and wisdom tells you what to do with what it is. And so it tells you when, it tells you how much and when to stop. But discipline is the consistency, it's the driver, it's the action step. So first of all, you need to know. Then you need to understand what to do with what you know. And then you need to put it into action. And so when you look at that, it's really important because it's particularly important in healing, because we can become so determined to fix ourselves that we start throwing everything at the body. We start throwing supplements and exercise and fasting and treatments and restriction, and we keep pushing through pain, and we're believing that the more effort we put in, that will actually produce our healing. But actually, the body doesn't necessarily respond to more, but it does respond to appropriate. It does respond to what's needed, right? And that's what we need to be able to do. So once we're able to do that, it's a fantastic way of looking at it, that it sounds contradictory because a lion is force and it does represent that strength and courage and authority and even ferocity, right? So then the question then becomes, why force and not lion? And maybe it's perhaps that the lion knows how to exert its force, but it doesn't exert maximum force all the time. A lot of the times a lion is very calm. When it has what it needs, it's calm, right? So when you understand the knowledge, the wisdom, and the discipline, the knowledge is like, what does my body actually need? Not what's fashionable, not what's worked for somebody else. You're not looking at other people. You're looking at what's happening in this time, in this space for me now. That's the knowledge, right? Of actually understanding the body and then applying that knowledge to yourself. That's she comes first. That's the thing I was saying earlier on. understanding connection. What does connections mean? Why are connections important? Why does it matter? How does connections resonate with me as a person? Then I'm going to look at wisdom. And I'm looking at wisdom. How much force should I apply? Because now I've got the information, but how am I going to apply or use that information? How am I going to use it when? Right? Because I want to make sure that if I know that, for instance, that the foundational force that we have for ourselves is breath. So I want to make sure that at the right time I can do diaphragmatic breathing, at the right time I can hold my breath. I'm going to create some intra-abdominal pressure. I'm going to create force within my abdominal cavity. I've just started swimming again. It's absolutely fantastic. First time in like 20 years. So just over a week ago, I did 10 lengths and I stopped after every length. Then on Friday, I think it was a Friday, I did 12 lengths. But I was able, so the Tuesday first and then the Friday. I was able to sort of swim for about 10 lengths and have a little rest and then do the last two. But on Saturday, I said to my friend, let's do 14, well, I said 16, because we were meant to be going up in increments of two. So we're playing tennis and then we're swimming. But she did 20 lengths, so that pushed me to do 20. And I was just trying to get them out of the way. And you've got to use force to push yourself through the water. And you've got to use breath to get yourself through the water in such a way that you don't overexert yourself and then you can't do anything. So in swimming, there's a lot of knowledge and applied wisdom. That's what you need. And the way in which I'm going to get better at swimming is to have a pattern and a timetable and have consistency. And that's what's going to make the difference. So discipline is about how consistently I do what is required, even if it's not dramatic, right? But I rest when rest is required. I move when movement is required. I nourish when nourishment is required. I stop when enough is enough. I breathe according to the situation that I find myself in, and I can adjust it. And that's really nice, right? A lion doesn't spend its entire day roaring. You know that. A lion doesn't roar all the time. It doesn't spend its entire day chasing and fighting, right? So that would be an enormous waste of energy for a lion. A lion observes. A lion rests. A lion waits. And when the force is required, it applies it all with purpose. We need to do the same thing. We need to observe. What's the body telling us? We need to rest because the body does its adaptation and repair and rebuild and refresh and restore. It does that in rest. We need to be able to stand still. We need to understand. We need to wait. We need to have patience. It's a gift of the spirit, right? So, you know, when I say heal by force and not by lion, I'm not rejecting the lion's strength at all. I'm just rejecting the tendency to use this lioness type force to believe that healing must look like fighting harder, pushing harder, restricting more, taking more, doing more. So I'll finish on this part here. Healing isn't about overpowering the body. It's about learning how to work with the forces within and around the body. Like, that was like some crazy stuff. Like, you wake up and you go, heal by force, not by lion. And then you come up with all this stuff. It's like, you know, it's crazy. All I can say to you is this. Force has magnitude and it has direction. And all we need to do is understand that. And when we understand that life force energy, breath is life force energy. Breath provides, and then circulation delivers and cells utilize. But there's nothing to utilize and nothing to deliver if the provision isn't there in the first place. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative. Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I'm so slowly bringing my head back above the parapet. I can't believe it's been 3 months since I lost my mum. And I've been on this real roller coaster. I've kind of removed myself literally from social media. And it's time for me to come back out again. Because I can't work when I'm invisible. It's like I've disappeared off the face of the earth. And I've got to really get myself together. But one of the things that I've loved doing, you know, I have my unfiltered events every other month in Soho. But because of my mum and her not being so well and then her passing, September will actually be the first one this year that I've actually ran. And so, you know, I couldn't get myself together to do the other two. I couldn't advertise. I couldn't see myself standing there and sharing. I'm inspired by wanting to really make sure that people don't lose their memory. They don't lose their health in the way in which my mum did. They don't end up in hospital and, you know, I don't know what they did to her. They put in the notes that she kept getting out of bed, but they never said what they gave her, but she never walked again. You know, that freedom to be taken away. I don't want anyone to be robbed of their health like that. So, you know, I really have a passion for it. But I had to allow myself that time. And I'm still grieving. I haven't finished grieving. But I just had to allow myself space. And just make no apologies for it, you know. There was a couple of weeks I missed on the radio show where I just said to Johan, I can't do it, you know. And it's interesting, like, you know, grief comes in so many different ways. But we were really blessed. There is one of the most amazing gospel artists in this country. It's a wonderful, wonderful lady by the name of Loreen Cato, MBE. And she sang at my mum's funeral. She sang at the wonderful Kanye King's funeral recently. She's an award-winning artist. She is the only gospel artist in history to hold both an MBE for services to music and charity and a MOBO award, Best Gospel Artist. She's the only gospel artist in history to hold both those awards. And she has a recipient of the Levine Hudson Award for Musical Excellence. And I'm so blessed because she is my guest on the 26th of September. We are going to have an evening of confession, conversations, and chorus. And it's going to be fantastic because there are some conversations that cannot be filtered into sound bites, right? So in September, when I sit down with this extraordinary lady and have this intimate evening of testimony, conversation, laughter and song, you're invited to come along. But here's the caveat. In person, there are only 40 seats. It's the beautiful sacred grounds in Covent Garden, Soho. So there's only 40 seats. And 10 of those have gone already. It's not till the 26th of September, But trust me when I tell you, those seats will not stay there for long. And you have an opportunity to be there in person. But wherever you are around the world, you also have the opportunity to be there online. That's the beauty of Zoom. That's the beauty of this space. So you get the opportunity. You'll have an opportunity to ask a question if you're there, but you can come along and you can enjoy what's going on. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being able to have Loreen. Loreen says to me, she's got stories for days. She said, listen, Jenny, when I tell these stories, people best have their tissues ready. Well, when she sang at my mum's funeral, she is the choir that we had. They're the people that take you to church. They will take you to church. There were people saying, oh my gosh, the hairs on the back of my neck. They make, oh my gosh. Anyway, I can't explain it anymore. Look up Loreen Cato, L-U-R-I-N-E. You should know who she is. She is an absolutely phenomenal singer. And it's wonderful. So it's going to be an experience. Not just an interview, it's going to be an experience. You're going to get the chance to hear her sing. You're going to get the chance to hear her story. You're going to be inspired by it, empowered by it, motivated by it. And, you know, we know everybody has a story. Everybody has something. But sometimes you see these people on these grand stages and they move you in so many different ways. And sometimes you don't feel that these people are accessible. Loreen is so accessible, it's untrue. She has got a heart for people. And she has a heart for God and his ministry. And it's fantastic. So it's going to be spirit-filled. It's just going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. So if you want to get your ticket, you can go onto Eventbrite. Type in Unfiltered Presents Loreen Cato. L-U-R-I-N-E. Cato, C-A-T-O-M-B-E. Or type in Unfiltered Soho, September 26th. It's a Saturday. Doors open at 6:30. The event starts at 7. Loreen will be on from 7:30. So get yourself in. Come along. Enjoy. We're going to have some little nibbles and bites and fun. And yeah, it's going to be an absolutely amazing evening. It finishes at 10 o'clock. So yeah, you've got plenty of time to be able to mix and mingle and talk. So that's going to be an absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. But you can also go onto my Instagram at Pelvic Secrets. You can go onto Loreen Cato's as well, and you'll find the link in my bio. You'll find the poster on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Snapchat, on LinkedIn. So X, all of those ones, I'm at Pelvic Secrets. LinkedIn, it's Jenny Russell. J-E-N-N-I, Russell, and on Facebook. And also, I'm Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook as well. So you can find me on every medium if you want to find me as well. So that's really good. Now, we're going to segue across, because at Sassy Sexy 63, I'm a woman of age. And the funny thing is, even though I'm a woman of age, it's like I'm not aging. So I keep getting told, I just don't look any older. I did the most amazing second part of a shoot with the wonderful Donald War last weekend, and it was amazing. We took lining paper and turned it literally into almost an Izzy Miyake type piece. It was a work of art. It really was a work of art. Literally spray paints, felt tip pens, then cut the paper up and put pleats in it. It was amazing. The creativity is off the charts. And so I'm really looking forward to where that project is going to. So watch this space, because that's really good. The other thing is, my friend Wayne Campbell, he's on Instagram at WAFOO, W-A-F-O-O, Whiskey Alpha Charlie Foxtrot Oscar Oscar. He has brought out the most amazing work of art, a beautiful collective piece of carnival, as it celebrates 60 years. 60 years in the making. Carnival of Resistance. Now, it's one beautiful book. It has its original copy. cover, and then there are four special edition covers where there's only 25 copies of each. Within the book, there is a certificate of authenticity, which they sign. But the covers are works of art. So even though the book is a portrait book, the cover is in landscape. So it's not a book that you take home and put on your bookshelf, spine side out. You put it even in a book stand or in the center as a piece of art. As a piece of art, because that's what it is. And when you look within the book and see the sections, children, steel pan, you know, food, it is phenomenal. Excuse me. I've been going to Carnival for over 40 years. And I've never experienced Carnival like how I experienced it in that book. There are only 300 with the original cover. I think 300 or 400 with the original cover. And there are only 25 of the four special edition covers. Those are investment pieces. They're not, it's not a book. It's a beautiful investment piece. So it was featured in The Guardian last weekend. So the book is flying out. You can order it online. It's flying off the shelf. So I would go to Wayne's Instagram, at Wayne Campbell or Wacfoo, WACFOO, and I would get my copy. In conjunction with his a wonderful friend of his, Wayne Critchlow, they have put together simply a beautiful, beautiful work of art. So that is something worth having a look at and checking out. We're going to play the second trail. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the menopause and the heat wave. Because that's the topic.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
So the Met Office have put out amber alerts. We officially, most of the country is officially in drought. I went for a wonderful walk today and I walked across the grass and it's just crunching underneath my feet. So I know that, you know, we've loved it. I have loved the heat. But for agriculture, this has been very serious indeed. But we are under amber alerts. The Met Office are warning of the extreme heat and the temperatures again are going back up this week to 35 and 37 in places, right? But women experiencing vasometer symptoms, right? So this is our dilation of our arteries. Already have narrowing and narrower thermoneutral zone. We've got the body's temperature regulation system has become less sensitive during the menopausal transition, right? So 30 plus degrees daytime temperatures, plus warm bedrooms, plus dehydration, plus poor sleep, plus alcohol, plus stress, plus hot flashes. We are just setting ourselves up for something really rather uncomfortable. And the NHS recognises hot flushes and night sweats and sleep disturbances among common menopause experiences, right? But we also know that their severity will vary enormously, dependent on the woman that's having the experience. Because the menopause, as we discussed before, is unique to every woman. So that is really the way in which we need to say, right, what am I going to do? And how am I going to manage? It goes back to heal by force, not by lying. It goes back to getting the knowledge. That's why I had the masterclass Menopause Unpacked. Then understanding the wisdom is how to apply that knowledge to you individually. And then the discipline literally is the change in the patterns and behaviors and consistency that will create a new pattern that serves you well. That's it, you know. Because the heat outside may be unavoidable, right? But some of what amplifies the heat inside may be modifiable. We might have to modify what we are doing. We might have to moderate our alcohol. Caffeine for some women, and for most women, especially those struggling with hot flushes, caffeine is literally a no-no. So we've got to look at the time we have our last meal at night and the heaviness of that meal. We have to look at the levels of stress we have. And many people say, I'm not stressed, but I bet you, if I look at their daily life and timetable, I can tell where the stress is. We've got to look at the bedroom temperature, the bedding itself, the mattress, the hydration, the sleep deprivation. Because it's not about simply asking yourself, why am I having a hot flush? You need to ask yourself, what makes my hot flush worse? Ginger is a fantastic food. Garlic is a great food. But these are heating foods for someone that's struggling with hot flushes. So they're not the right things to have. If you're drinking, you know, at the weekend it was so hot, 32 degrees. There was picnics on left, right and centre in the parks. So you're outside in the park, exposed to the elements, nowhere to really hide. And then you're drinking alcohol, you're moving around. That's just like a disaster waiting to happen. So it's really important. And it's important for us also to recognise, right? You know, that in this weather as well, one of the key components of healing and restoration is sleep. But here's the thing. If it's hot and you can't sleep, what do you do? You might think, oh, I'll catch up later. But heat itself can impair sleep. So we've got to think about different ways in which we can actually try to regulate our nighttime temperatures so that we can get better sleep. Because we already know that menopause makes sleep more vulnerable, especially through the night sweats, through the hormonal transitions. So we've got to try and keep the room cool, dark, breathable, cooler bedding, regular sleep patterns. And that means addressing alcohol and caffeine. And you know already that caffeine has this shelf life that's kind of 4 times after 3 o'clock. So it takes like 4 times as long to get out of the system. So you should never be drinking caffeine after 2. And even at that, maybe alcohol as well, and how the body's able to flush this system out. Between 1 and 3 is when your liver is detoxifying. So late night drinking and these big hot flushes and waking up in your own personal swimming pool, these happen for many people at the time that the liver is detoxifying, which tells you that there's too much load in the liver. So we have to kind of understand the symptoms, right? But sleep is not the time taken away from life. Sleep is when we're making deposits into our physical pension plan. We need to understand that at this age now, we need to have a physical pension plan. We need to look at our life through the lens of thinking of it as a physical pension plan. And so if our poor sleep tomorrow, today, affects what happens tomorrow, then that poor sleep can not only affect energy and appetite, but it will affect movement, concentration, mood, pain perception, recovery. So the hotter that it becomes and the harder that good sleep becomes, the more deliberately we need to protect it, the more intentional we have to be about it. So I, personally, have a fan in my room. I have the Dyson hot and cold fan in the room. And at first, I didn't think I could sleep with that fan on. Well, I surprised myself because I can sleep with that fan on. Now, I will wake up in the night, turn it off, fall back to sleep. And I have found that I found it harder to sleep through the night. Albeit when we did the detox, oh gosh, I slept like a baby. When we did the detox, I slept like a baby. So maybe that's also a hint to get back to my hydrogen water, which I haven't had for about a week and a half. And that leads me nicely into hydration. A dehydrated body with night sweats, with heat, with excess alcohol is not going to make for good sleep. So hydration is really important. Very, very important. And you need a tiny bit of organic grade sea salt in your water because it creates the best electrolyte drink. But it also helps, right? Because it's involved in the extracellular fluid balance. So you need it because there's salt that surrounds the cells. It's involved in nerve impulses and muscle function. So when we sweat heavily, we don't just lose the water and electrolytes. We're also losing sodium. We're losing salts. So hydration isn't simply about drinking gallons of plain water. You have to understand, for most daily situations, water plus food replaces what's needed, right? And after prolonged or heavy sweating, electrolyte replacement is really relevant. It really does become relevant. So it's not just that you just put sea salt in there. If you can taste it, you put too much. You need to make sure that you understand. Now, there is a whole caveat here. In the book, The Body's My Cries for Many Water by Dr. Batman Gelich, he will tell you that salt also helps to, with vasodilation, it helps to open up the capillaries in the arteries, right? But hypertension, you've got narrowing of the arteries. So it does help with muscle contraction and relaxation. But if you can taste it, you've gone too far. And contrary to belief, a lot of people take the salt out of their diet, which actually exacerbates things like hypertension, kidney disease, heart problems. Get the book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, and read that book. It's very important because there's a whole misconception around salt. And if you just go and look it up on Google or chat, it's going to go with the logical answer that's on there, the science. You need the book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, because that's where you're going to get some evidence and some information. So I love chapter 12, right? So I thought, let me just go and get the book. And I got all my clients to read this. Salt and exercise, two ingredients for health, right? Salt is a vital substance for the survival of all living creatures, particularly humans. It's a medication used by healers throughout the ages. In certain, salt is worth its weight in gold. Water, salt, and potassium together regulate the water content of the body. Water regulates the water content of the interior of the cell by working its way into all cells it reaches. It has to get there to cleanse and extract the toxic waste of cell metabolism. Once water gets into the cells, the potassium in the cells holds onto it and keeps it there. Even in the plant kingdom, it is potassium in the fruit that gives it its firmness by holding water in the interior of the fruit. Our daily food contains ample potassium from natural sources of fruits and vegetables, but not salt from its natural source. That's why we need to add salt to our daily diet. Salt forces some water to be kept, to keep it company, sorry, outside the cells. That's called osmotic retention of water by salt. It balances the amount of water that is held by the cells, right? So I want to read something else because, I mean, we just need to understand there's many processes that salt is played in. So this is The Body's Many Cries for Water. So, here are. Salt, some of its hidden miracles. Salt is a strong natural antihistamine. It is used to relieve asthma by putting it on the tongue after drinking a glass or two of water. It's a strong anti-stress, vital for extracting excess acidity from the inside of the cells, vital for the kidneys to clear excess acidity, is essential in the treatment of emotional and affective disorders, is essential for preserving the serotonin and melatonin levels in the brain. In his opinion, it is vital for the prevention and treatment of cancer. It's vital in maintaining muscle tone and strength. So, you know, there's so much to it. It's effective in stabilizing irregular heartbeats, vital for sleep regulation, for needed element for the treatment of diabetics. It's, you know, I could go on. All I'm saying to you is we have to understand that scientifically they will say no, and not all salt is created equal. I use organic French grey sea salt. But you can look for yourself, speak to your doctor. But there are some really good books to have in your arsenal and have in your army and to understand. So when we understand that, we understand that hydration is not merely putting water into your mouth. It's actually maintaining the fluid and electrolyte environment in which the cells function. Because you need that, right? You need cellular integrity. That's a philosophy that you need to have without creating a blanket salt prescription. I'm not creating that at all. What I'm saying to you is that if you can taste it, you've got too much. But there are ways in which we use salt. So lots of low salt diets, bleached sea salts, you know, processed salts, those salts are not good for you. No salt is definitely not good for you. But once you start to understand and you start to do a bit more reading and research as to the different effects and different organs and organ functions and functions within the body that are impacted by and utilize salt, you will understand why you would need salt in your body. But remember, you can get structured water foods as well. So watermelon, cucumber, berries, melons, leafy greens. There you can get what you need. That's going to also help you to become much better at where you are and be able to work on that. Now, one of the increasingly important conversations in female pelvic medicine is genitourinary syndromes in menopause. And it's now called GSM. So what they're looking at here is they're saying declining estrogen and androgen influence the vaginal, vulva, and lower urinary tissues. So symptoms can include dryness, irritation, painful sex, urinary urgency, frequency burning, and recurrent UTIs. And this year, recurrent UTI prevention and GSM, genitourinary syndrome of menopause, this year, those two have been prominent in urological research, including discussions of diet and vaginal hormone therapy. Now, my take is, we cannot keep separating the vagina from the bladder as though they live in different women. We have to understand that in us as postmenopausal women, tissue changes can influence a protective vaginal environment and urinary health. So current urological guidelines recommend local low-dose vaginal estrogen for appropriate women with GSM and recurrent UTIs to reduce occurrence. However, it's very hard to do that if you don't actually do the blood test first. You kind of need to know the estrogen-progesterone ratio, because that's what we need in the first place. Estrogen rises, progesterone comes to make sure we don't have excess estrogen floating around in the body, creating adverse effects. So you need to make sure and find out the levels of estrogen you have left, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and melatonin. You need to know those things, and cortisol, right? So my thing would be, there are these treatments that are out there, but you need to speak with your clinician and ask them about those blood tests. Those blood tests are not something they naturally give on the NHS. So you're going to have to possibly pay for them yourself. But if you want to consider taking these products with extra estrogen or even extra progesterone, my suggestion would be first to find out the levels. Again, there's another book, Daniel Kalish, K-A-L-I-S-H. Daniel Kalish, Your Guide to Healthy Hormones. These things are really important. I know people today, they've got podcasts and they've got, as we do podcasts, and people want to listen. I love books because I like highlighting. I like colouring in my books with my highlighters. So I like to colour in. I also like to turn to the page and look at it again. Because otherwise in audio, I've got to try and remember at which point they said what. But at least I know in my book, I can open the book, flip the page, I can fold the page, I can do what I want with the book. But I know it's, for me, it's much easier to return to time and again. And that's what really helps. So that's something that we should really understand. But there is an association also with these ambient higher temperatures and increased UTI presentations, with dehydration being one plausible contributor. Because many people are not drinking water with that pinch of salt. I'm saying it. They're drinking juices or teas or anything but water itself, and they're not eating as much structured food. But increased fluid intake helps reduce recurrent UTIs. And that was even proven in a trial that was done by PubMed, and that actually helped for women who were previously drinking relatively little. So it's not that we've definitely got the normal numbers above what they normally are, but it really is important to understand that the hot weather can create circumstances that may make UTIs or cystitis and many other intimate health challenged diseases more prevalent. So it's important for you to understand where you're at, what your body's doing. Dehydration and less frequent urination with concentrated urine, sweating heavily and leaving on wet clothes can be a problem. So even sitting around in damp swimwear, we have to understand. And also one of the biggest problems for us that may create cystitis or urinary tract infections is holding the urine when we're out traveling or outdoors, because many people just don't like to go to the toilet outside. But this becomes a problem. Holding can be a real problem. So we're coming towards the end of the show. It's been definitely a bit of a mishmash one today, but I hope it makes sense to you. And all I want to say to you in this beautiful hot weather is stay safe. You know, if you're out there in the sun, be safe with the sun. Understand your skin. Understand how your skin can utilize the sun, knowing that the sun will actually convert the active form of cholesterol produced in the liver, where 75% of your cholesterol in your body is produced in your liver. So allow the sun to do that so that you can convert the vitamin D and use it for the processes that it needs to use. But drink regularly. Don't habitually hold your bladder for hours. Excuse me, sorry. Urinate after sex. Change out of wet swimwear. Avoid heavily perfumed intimate products. In fact, just don't use them. Don't douche. See, contrary to yonis and stuff, I'm saying don't douche. And don't repeatedly self-treat what you assume is thrush when burning may be urinary or GSM related. But more importantly, fever, low back pain, vomiting or becoming significantly unwell with urinary symptoms definitely needs prompt and urgent medical attention, because infection can travel from the urethra up into the kidneys. So I really hope this week has been useful. Physical pension plan is not about fighting age or pretending menopause isn't happening. It's about understanding the conditions we're living in our own internal ecosystem, our bodies, and learning how to course correct. So you've got the gut rest, remember, and the 4-day food rotation protocol, which is a great way to get you started and get you going through this heat as well. Just giving the body a little flush out. You can use that and life can be really, really good. Remember, when it comes to the heat, we need to understand how to move well. And I've run out of time. I can't even explain that to you. We'll talk about that next week. Because movements that matter are really important. Don't need to be out there trying to run. Don't try to do excessive exercise to lose weight in this heat. Understand your body, look after it well, and it will serve you for the life that you want to live. Until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe.